More on that hot seat on Capitol Hill waiting for Wells Fargo Bank's boss today. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. So as you may have heard, the CEO of Wells Fargo will be in front of the Senate Banking Committee today. What's expected is contrition after it was shown that Wells Fargo employees opened more than 2 million accounts and credit cards in people's names without the customer's permission. Employees were under pressure to sell multiple accounts to customers. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace talked to someone who's seen both sides of this.
Jim Griebel of Valley Springs, South Dakota, says a long time ago, his daughter had an entry-level teller position at Wells Fargo. He remembers a lot of competition and shaming pressure to get people to open more accounts.
And one of the biggest problems was angry customers because they were getting badgered time and time again to sign up for these cards.
She quit and moved on, and then more recently he became a Wells Fargo customer with multiple accounts. And then something strange happened.
And about 2 years ago, we got a call from a Wells Fargo employee.
The employee called their house and told his wife that they needed to attach a debit card to several deposit accounts they had, that there was suddenly no choice.
She agreed to accept the debit cards.
But he didn't want debit cards, so he called a manager and learned that had been a lie. There was no requirement to get a debit card.
I don't know if illegal is the right choice of words, but certainly unethical.
Wells Fargo has fired 5,300 people related to the false accounts and will pay a fine to federal regulators. New Jersey Senator Robert Menendez is part of a group asking the company whether it will also take back bonuses from senior employees who may have been rewarded for this sales strategy.
That cannot happen unless leadership allows it to happen.
Wells Fargo declined comment for this story, but it has just announced that it will do away with individual sales goals. I'm Lewis Wallace for Marketplace.
The Federal Reserve starts its two-day meeting on interest rates in about 2 hours. Will that committee raise rates? The betting is not yet. So much awaits an answer, including people looking to buy a new house. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
Hello. Hi, how are you doing?
Niles Hancock, his wife Mira, and their six-month-old son Mateus live in a two-bedroom condo in Rockville, Maryland. That's where I meet them.
Welcome. This is my wife,
so,
Mira.
Hi, Mira. Nice to meet you.
Mateus is that classic bouncing baby boy you've heard of, or lived with, if you're me. The Hancock family needs more space, so they're in the midst of selling their condo and buying a townhouse. Niles Hancock has started watching interest rates like a hawk. His assumption? If the Federal Reserve hikes interest rates, mortgage rates will rise too.
That's me. I'm that guy.
Thing is, that's not really how it works. For example, last December, when the Fed raised interest rates, mortgage rates actually went down. Not what Hancock expected.
And I go and I look and I'm like, well, this is what it was yesterday. Well, I guess it hasn't hit.
So what does determine the interest rate on your mortgage?
Wall Street sets your mortgage rate.
Specifically, the bond market. This is Morris Davis. He teaches real estate at Rutgers University.
The mortgage rate moves or aligns pretty closely with the 10-year treasury.
He's talking about bonds, 10-year treasury bonds. They're long-term, stable investments, just like your 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. And what moves a 10-year treasury bond? How much investors are willing to pay for them.
It's like supply and demand.
Guy Sakala is publisher and CEO of Inside Mortgage Finance.
The more investors who want to buy U.S. treasuries, the lower rate the treasury has to pay out.
And so the bond rate goes down and the mortgage rate goes down. Back in Rockville, Niles Hancock had no idea mortgage rates were so complicated. He says it's like peeling an onion.
The more layers you peel off, you start crying. It gets complicated. How much do you really want to know? Well, how long can you keep peeling for?
Hancock says he's glad to know how the system works, but he doesn't want to peel that onion much more. In Rockville, Maryland, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
You may know the Euro grocery store Aldi, German-owned, low-cost, some produce. Well, now another European price-busting chain called Lidl plans for expansion in the U.S. Marketplace's Adam Allington reports on how Walmart and Target shoppers may be interested.
The German grocer Lidl is scouting retail locations along the East Coast. This comes after enormous success moving into the U.K., thanks in part to a no-frills, cost-conscious approach.
So that model really worked, and it really undercut some of the marketing messages of the mainstream grocers.
Neil Saunders is an analyst with the market research firm Conlumino. He says in time, Lidl could emerge as a viable competitor to Walmart or Target and even take business away from its German arch rival, Aldi.
And the reason I think that is because Lidl's product proposition is a lot more rounded. Yes, it sells grocery like Aldi does, but it also sells quite a lot of non-food as well.
However, here in the U.S., we already have lots of low-cost grocery chains, and Supermarket News retail editor John Springer says places like Lidl and Aldi sell brands many people here don't recognize.
Their success, to a degree, depends on the consumer's willingness to sort of put their trust in the brand.
Springer says Lidl also doesn't have the economies of scale of a giant like Walmart. In Washington, I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
The High Court of pronunciation is still out over how to say L-I-D-L in the U.S. The Germans say Lidl like needle. The Brits say little like chicken little. Now, if you ask me, here in the U.S., they should go hoity-toity and say Lidl. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Chris Olin. Our engineer this week is Daniel Ramirez. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.